I'm not going to keep it too long, but I'm going to ask you to read two chapters from the good word of God. And I want you to take notice, please, of one particular man, a young man from Bethlehem, Judah. Because I want to talk about him tonight, and I want us, when we go away tonight, to ask ourselves, each one of us, what kind of a person am I in relation to the assembly, to the house of God? Judges chapter 17, please. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and speakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and he made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. And he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with a man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a priest to my a Levite to my priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. The children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from the coasts, from their coast, men of valor, from Zorah and Eshtol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go, search the land. When they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. While they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me. He hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. The priest said unto them, go in peace. Before the Lord is your way, wherein ye go. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. And they came unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtel, and their brethren said unto them, What say ye? And they said, Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land. Behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure, unto a large land, for God hath given it unto your hand, into your hands, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. There went out from thence the family of the Danites out of Zorah and out of Eshtol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war, and they went up and pitched in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah, wherefore they called that place Mahanadan unto this day. Behold, it is behind Kirjath-Jearim. And they passed thence into the Mount Ephraim and came into the house of Micah. Then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, Do ye know that there is in these houses an ephod, a teraphim, and a graven image, and a molten image? Now therefore consider what ye have to do. And they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the graven image, the ephod, the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, What do ye? And they said unto him, Hold thy peace. Lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us. And be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? And the priest's heart was glad. He took the ephod, the teraphim, the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together, and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, What aileth thee, that thou comest with such a company? He said, Ye have taken away my gods, which I have made, and the priest, and ye are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me? What aileth thee? The children of Dan said unto him, Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. The children of Dan went their way. When Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back into his house, and they took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had, and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure, and smote them with the edge of the sword, and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth Rehob. There they built a city and dwelt therein, and they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit the name of the city was Laish at the first. The children of Dan set up the graven image. And Jonathan, that's the man we're talking about, the son of Gershon, or as the revised version, no, the son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh, or as the revised version says, the son of Moses. He and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set up Micah's graven image, which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. May the Lord bless to us the reading from his precious and his holy word. I want you to notice two particular things that we have in the book of Judges. Two lessons, two statements. There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The first statement indicates that true leadership was lacking. And the second, of course, speaks for itself. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. These are serious things, you know, as we think of these two statements. In view of all that Israel had come into in the Promised Land and their failure, no attention was paid to their past history, how God had brought them from Egypt through the wilderness into the land of Canaan. And here they are without good leadership. Can I stop there for a brief moment, my dear friends, and apply that to our assemblies today? I think that one of the paramount needs among our assemblies today is, of course, good, godly leadership. We cannot do without them, my dear friends. There are many assemblies, of course, that are failing and falling. There are many assemblies that will ultimately join the ecumenical movement. And why? Because they haven't got good, godly leaders. And that's a tragedy. Because of that, every man does that which was right in his own eyes. I want you to notice this young fellow that we've been talking about, this young Levite from Bethlehem, Judah. I want you to notice, first of all, that he was born into the right family. He was a Levite. Secondly, I want you to notice that he desired to function as a priest. Notice, my dear friends, today we need priestly men. I often wonder, you know, why so many of our young men, and sometimes our older men, are so quiet on the Lord's Day morning. Have nothing to say. You know, my dear friends, this is a day when we need priestly men. Men that know something of the quiet place of communion with God. Men that know something of how to address themselves to God in public. You remember what Moses said to Aaron on that tragic occasion in Leviticus chapter 10? When Aaron's two eldest sons were slain because they offered strange fire. Listen what Moses said. This is that which the Lord said. I will be sanctified in them that draw nigh me, and before all people I will be glorified. My dear friends, have you got hold of those two things? That as you and I come together, you know, in this day of the charismatic movement, when we speak to God as though he was our next door neighbor, have you learned the lesson that as a priest, you come into God's presence to give him the honor and the glory, to sanctify God, to set him apart? Therefore, we can't use the ordinary language that the people use in the street. We must use the best of language, and you cannot find any better language than this contained in our beautiful authorized version. Notice, I will be sanctified in them that draw nigh me, and before all people I will be glorified. Do those two things characterize you, my dear brother, as you publicly worship? And I pray God that you might become a true worshiper. This man desired to function as a priest. He never functioned properly, with the sad result he led his own sons away. You remember, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity in the land, and they set up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Had a terrible effect upon his own sons. Now let's look at this priest. I know my time is short. I want you to notice one or two things about him. First, I want you to notice the strange anomaly of a priest seeking a place. Secondly, I want you to notice, he is a priest without a principle, without principles, without good principles. You'll see that as we come to it. He is a priest with an eye to popularity. You see that in the chapter 2, don't you? Many young men have been destroyed that way. He is a priest whose sin was perpetuated. We get that in the latter part of chapter 18. I want you to think then of that young priest, and I'm keeping my eye on the clock. Notice, my dear friends, he is a priest seeking a place. Now you come back with me for a moment or two to the book of Deuteronomy, please. And let us read what God has to say. Deuteronomy chapter 12. There are one or two statements in the chapter that I want you to think about. He is a priest seeking a place. Chapter 12. Notice verse 4, you shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall ye come. Notice what verse 8 says. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Now notice verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and so on. And let's look lastly at verse 18. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Notice, my dear friends. You know, in olden days, some of our older brethren often used to speak about the place of the name. That was the only place where the people of Israel could gather. Where the tabernacle was placed by the will of God, they had to bring their offerings there and offer their worship there. And that, of course, was the place of the name. He was a priest seeking a place. But I want you to notice, my dear friend, sadly, he was a priest who had imbibed the spirit of the age. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There he is, my dear friends. He's doing precisely that. He's doing that which was right in his own eyes. Can I remind you that as far as assembly matters are concerned, as far as our personal lives are concerned in the world, he is the whole word of God. And there's no reason why we should do things which are right in our own eyes. He'd imbibed the spirit of the age. Don't let you and I be characterized by that. I want you to notice, secondly, that here's a priest without principle. Please notice, a principle is a settled law or rule. I want you to notice first, in these chapters that we've read, we have the truth of separation disowned. I want you to notice, of course, that was seen in the company he kept. Micah was a thief. He was an idolater, as his mother was. A man is known by the company he keeps, said someone. And here he is, my dear friends, making his home with such people, living with worldly people, enjoying the delights of worldly people. We've already been taught tonight in a great way, my dear friends, haven't we? In a very solemn way, you and I must be separated from this world and its ways. And might I add, from this religious world and its ways. As assemblies of God, we should be separated from every sect that's outside. There are Christians in them, we know that. And we've got to love those Christians. But that doesn't say because we love them that we've got to do what they do. My dear friends, let us ever remember that you and I are to be a separated people. Here he was. He kept company with an idolater. He himself was a thief. What does the Lord Jesus, what does the Word of God say? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Separation from the world in its ways is essential if we are to glorify God. But notice secondly, not only was the truth of separation thrown out, the true worship was displaced. I want you to remember the tabernacle was a Shiloh at this particular time, and it was completely neglected. We don't hear much about it, do we, in these latter chapters of the book of Judges? It was ignored. He'd rather be in Micah's house of gods than seek the place of the name. What does the New Testament exhort us to do? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Here he is, my dear friend. The true worship was completely displaced in his life. I want you to notice too, his true inheritance was ignored. You come back with me, please, to Deuteronomy again, that wonderful book of Deuteronomy. I want you to read from chapter 10. Verse 9. Deuteronomy 10 and 9, wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. Now you'd think that was hard, wouldn't you? They didn't own a square yard of land, you know. Listen what it says. Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. Listen now. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. Numbers, please. Turn to the book of Numbers. Chapter 18. Verse 20. Verse 20 of Numbers 18. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. My dear friends, the people of the sons of Levi had far more than any of the other tribes. God was their inheritance, and I think they'd forgotten that. And this poor man here, his true inheritance was neglected. Now let's think, thirdly, that here's a priest with an eye to popularity. And I sought to emphasize that as I was reading it. Notice chapter 18 again, please, and verse 18. And when these men, that's the men from the tribe of Dan, went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, the teraphim, the molten image, then said they to the priest, then said the priest unto them, what do ye? And they said unto him, hold thy peace. Lay thine hand upon thy mouth and go with us and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and family in Israel? Now notice. And the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod, the teraphim, the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. A priest with an eye to popularity. He was content to dwell with Micah in one house once. And now he leaves Micah's house. He's going to be a priest to a tribe in Israel. My dear friends, let me say this. The popularity has been the cause of many a downfall. Let us never forget that. Wanting to be somebody. Wanting to get on. Wanting to be well thought of. Wanting to be a good preacher and all the rest of it, my dear friends, and it has destroyed many men. May God grant that you and I will have a single eye to his glory. Remember what Moses said to Aaron, and among all people I will be glorified. That's what God said. And you and I who have to work for God in our local assembly life, maybe Sunday school work, the preaching of the gospel, giving out tracts. How do we do it? A single eye for his glory, I trust, my dear friends. Can I remind you of the one that took the lowest place? Our blessed Lord. And he took the lowest place, you remember, among his disciples one day. When he washed their feet. Not something exciting that, you know. Something that the perfect servant of Jehovah was prepared to do. To do it for God's glory and for the benefit of his people. That's the kind of men and women that you and I should be. And lastly, I want you to notice that here's a priest whose sin was perpetuated. I read the end of the chapter. Let's notice again what it says and fasten it into our hearts. And the children of Dan, verse 30, set up, as the revised version says, for themselves the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land, and they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Notice, my dear friends, Jonathan, the son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh, or the son of Moses, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan. Now then, what kind of a priest are you? How do you function in the assembly? We've heard a little tonight of how we should function in the world, haven't we? What our actions should be in the light of what's happening in the world, of this ecumenical movement and all the sinful things that abound us. A separated people, indeed, we should be. But what kind of a priest are you in the house of God? I pray, my dear friends, that every one of us, without exception, shall be true priests. I want to remind you that men seek to be preachers. sometimes the women do in certain quarters. But listen, the Father seeketh worshippers. May God help us to be true worshippers.